You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a senior economist here at CommBank. And today I've got with me Gareth Aird, our head of Australian economics. Thanks for joining today, Gareth.
It's good to be with you, Belinda.
Now, today I really want to drill down a little bit more about what is happening in the Australian economy. We did hear from the Reserve Bank of Australia on this past Friday in their quarterly statement on monetary policy what they're expecting from the Australian economy this year and over the next couple of years and how it's going to respond to the coronavirus. What did you find was their baseline economic scenario?
Yeah, so we heard from them in the statement of monetary policy on Friday, which formalised their forecast. We'd heard a little bit in the previous few weeks from the Reserve Bank Governor around what their forecast may look like. And then in the statement on Friday, we got the point estimates. And we're a little bit surprised, actually, on their GDP profile because it didn't quite marry up with what we'd heard previously. The governor had been talking about a 6% fall in GDP as a whole in 2020 and then a 6% rebound in 2021. We're a little bit surprised by that. We thought that was a little bit too ambitious for next year. But what it turns out that he was referring to is their through-the-year numbers as at the December quarter. So they actually expect GDP in the December quarter to be down by 6% through the year and then up by 6% through the year as at the December quarter next year. But in terms of their annual average GDP profile, they've got growth in the economy down by 5% this year and then rebounding by 4% next year. And that's actually broadly similar with our view. In fact, in terms of GDP this year, we're very similar to the RBA. We've got growth down very close to that 5% mark. Where we differ a little bit is the expected recovery in 2021. Our forecasts are for growth of about 3.25%, so it's a bit lower than the RBA. I guess in the scheme of things, they're broadly similar profiles, but we're just not convinced that we're going to get as sharp a bounce back in activity. In terms of their forecasts on the labour market, broadly similar and also pretty similar on inflation. So basically, when we get to the end of the forecast horizon, which is mid-2022, the economy is still going to look like it's got quite a lot of spare capacity in it.
So for us, one of the biggest issues in trying to forecast, you know, both the downturn and the recovery in the Australian economy is how quickly a lot of these social distancing and economic shutdown measures are moved on from the government, and also how behaviour changes. So one of the things we don't know is, will households go back and spend to the same degree that they were spending before in the same patterns? Do businesses have the confidence to go out there and spend and invest and employ? How does that impact on the economic profile? Did the RBA capture that in their best case and worst case economic scenarios that they released as well?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's where this word assumption comes up. We're all making assumptions when we're doing our forecast. And those assumptions, or a big part of those assumptions, is how the economy may open up. And to that end, most people who are having a view on the economy will have a base case or a central scenario, which is kind of their middle state of the world. And then you've got risks both to the upside and the downside to that view. And so what the Reserve Bank did was they came up with their central scenario, which is what I've gone through the numbers before last time. But then they talked around a couple of risks to that view, and basically a scenario where things open up a little bit quicker than they've assumed in their central scenario. And that means you get a smaller contraction in growth, you get a lower peak in the unemployment rate, and basically the economy recovers quicker than it would otherwise, which is exactly what you'd expect. And then the other one, of course, was a worst case scenario, and that basically, we embedded within that is the fact that we don't get a handle on the virus as quickly as we think we might at the moment. The economy doesn't open up as quickly, and then, of course, you get a bigger contraction on growth and a higher rise in the unemployment rate. And so that's why I think at this stage, everybody who's trying to work out how the economy might go is placing a lot of emphasis on what the government's saying in terms of the pace of opening up the economy. And then, of course, we need to watch what happens in terms of the transmission of COVID-19 throughout that process, because the last thing anybody wants to see is an increase in the number of daily transmissions of COVID-19, which would then mean that those plans we were looking at the moment of the economy opening back up would then be pushed out.
And certainly looking at the high frequency data to watch some of the response by households and businesses to those measures is quite important. So, you know, some of the things we're watching in the housing market, for example, are the number of auctions and the auction clearance rates. And certainly we have seen some slight changes to measures in the housing market. We're also watching quite closely a lot of the high frequency CBA credit and debit card spending data to look at whether or not household momentum is shifting in terms of their spending plans. Now, we do release this data every week. We last released it about a week ago. What was some of that data showing?
Yeah, look, on the credit and debit card spend, what the data is telling us is that we're still spending a lot less today than we were 12 months ago. Where we were 3-4 weeks ago, we're spending a little bit more. So basically, we've had a slight pickup in momentum, and that actually is picking up credit and debit card spend before any easing of restrictions. And what our take there is that basically, because the news on the virus has been so good, households as a collective have felt a little bit more confident to go out and spend at those businesses that have remained open, and therefore you see a slight pickup in spending momentum, even though restrictions haven't been formally eased. And given that we know now restrictions are going to be eased over the next month, we would expect that card spend to pick up in line with the fact that there's more businesses now open. I should just add as well, that's not the the only high-frequency CBA data we're monitoring. We're also looking at the income side of the equation, and specifically there we're looking at money going into CBA bank accounts, both on the wages and salary side, and also on the government benefits paid side. And I think what our data is picking up there is very, very interesting. And that is that the contraction in income coming through on the wages and salary side is being more than offset at the moment by the increase in government benefits paid. And it's somewhat counterintuitive, but what our data is actually telling us is that to date, there's been a positive shock to household income purely because the increase in government benefits paid has been bigger than the decline in wages and salaries at an aggregate level. And in fact, we were a little bit surprised in the Reserve Bank's statement of monetary policy around their forecast for household income growth, because they've got household income growth down quite a bit as at the June quarter. And that doesn't really marry up with what our data is telling us, is that the government benefits are so large, they're more than offsetting to date that fall in wages and salaries.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bit of a surprise, and I think it really goes to show you the importance of this high-frequency data. Now, attention is very firmly on the labour market data, not only in Australia but globally as well. We did get news out over the weekend that the US unemployment rate has reached near 15%. It was certainly a little bit better than what some consensus expectations were, but we do get April data for Australia this week, and it's going to be some pretty sobering news. What's your expectation for how that data is going to come out this week?
Look, we will get a very poor set of numbers on Thursday, but just how poor they are is anyone's guess at the moment. I mean, the forecast range from analysts that's come in on where employment may print ranges from a fall in employment of 125,000 to a fall of 1 million. And that is just an incredible range. In fact, we've ended up right on consensus with a fall in jobs of minus 550,000 over April, and yet the next nearest forecast to ours is 50,000 jobs away. So it could print anywhere. So anyone who's listening to this podcast after the numbers drop on Thursday might find that we were quite a bit off with our estimate. But at this stage, we think we'll see a fall somewhere in the range of about 550,000. We've also got a fall in the participation rate down to 65%, just as people drop out of the labour force who lose their job because they won't be actively looking for work. And then backdated out of that is our unemployment forecast for a lift to 8%. But I think the reason why it's so hard and for analysts to forecast this employment report, why there's such a divergence of views, is we just don't know how people who have lost their job are going to identify themselves. Because people that lose a job but don't actively go out there and look for work, they won't be considered employed, but equally they won't be considered unemployed. And by the same token, we're going to have people who aren't working, but because they're tied to their employer, will identify it as being employed. So it's a hard one. It's going to be a pretty rough set of numbers either way. But I think, you know, in some ways, this isn't the most important employment report. It'll give us a snapshot of how things looked at April, but we're very much interested in the profile for unemployment and employment over 2020 and for any turning point. So once we see that peak in the level of unemployment and the peak in the loss of jobs, it'll be then how quickly things recover from there.
And we certainly did hear from Treasurer Frydenberg last week that said unemployment, and this is something we've noticed before in previous recessions, goes up by the escalator and down by the stairs. So we are expecting a big lift in the unemployment rate. Our forecasts are closer to a 9% peak in the unemployment rate closer to June, and that falling very gradually. But as you said, it very much depends on how people identify themselves in the labour market and the size of the fall in the participation rate. Certainly what we're seeing in other countries is that fall in the participation rate's generally been a little bit larger than what the general expectation is, and that's going to be quite important for how the official numbers turn out. But what we do know is the number of people impacted through this economic downturn will be quite large.
Yeah, look, that's exactly right. In fact, just as you mentioned the Treasurer then, we also actually hear from him on Tuesday with an economic update, an economic statement rather. So I suspect we're going to hear a little bit more on that, their thoughts around how the labour market might evolve this year and next.
Yes, we will, and also maybe what they're expecting in terms of the economy, although we do expect they won't be too different from the Reserve Bank. So as per always, there's a lot going on in the Australian economy now more so than ever. I appreciate your thoughts today, Gareth.
A pleasure, Belinda.
Thank you. Where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy. All our research, including the release on the RBA Statement on Monetary Policy that we published on Friday the 8th of May, can be found on the website combankresearch.com.au.